When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Welcome to The Stage Right Side. I'm your host, James Whiteside, and I am joined by three Corps de Ballet members who are retiring this year. Lauren Post, Alex Basmagi, and Keely Groenwegen. Did I say it correctly?
You said it perfectly.
The way I, before we started recording, I was like, so I've only known you for like 10 years, but how do you say your last name?
Groenwegen.
It's a good like chant. Groenwegen. Yes. I can't say it.
No. It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Do you want to do a tongue twister that I made up?
Yeah.
This is important. All right. You have to say grocery store sushi 5 times fast. Lauren, try it.
I have a mint in my mouth, so.
So maybe somebody else? Or are you just gonna spit the mint out?
Grocery store sushi.
What's
that?
It's
grocery store.
Grocery store. Don't you mean Mississippi? All right, Alex, your turn.
Now I'm gonna say grocery store sushi.
That's actually really good.
That was really good.
I was going the opposite way. I was going grocery store sushi.
Sushi. You want to try it?
I think I already did, but it wasn't worth it.
All right, so I've got Keely, Alex, and Lauren, and the three of you are retiring this year, and I wanted to bring you onto the stage right side to talk about what that means, what your careers have held for you, your greatest triumphs, your greatest disappointments, your loves, your losses. You know what I mean? All the things, all the feels that you get when you realize that this thing you've worked your whole life for is finally coming to a close. Goodness gracious. Lauren, I want to start with you.
Okay,
do you need a moment? Do you need to go somewhere? Like,
just gonna pause the
Why
thing.
Why would you
for
pop
you?
A mint
I
into your
know.
Mouth?
I got nervous.
Okay, I'm fine.
Okay, crunch, crunch. You good?
Yeah.
Okay, Lauren, when did you join ABT? What year?
2008.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a while ago. How many years? What does that mean?
Like 16 and a half.
16 and a half.
Wow. The half matters.
Yeah.
Okay, and you. You did studio company, correct?
No, I didn't.
No, you joined right in the Corps. You were just
joined,
so fierce.
Mm-hmm. I joined as an apprentice, and then I went to the Corps de Ballet after that.
How long were you an apprentice?
I think like 6 months, however many weeks, I don't know, 20-something weeks. It's like a short contract, and then you move on. Yeah.
So for those of you just listening to the podcast, I'm also filming this. So you can go on YouTube and watch it, and you can see me wildly gesticulating to Lauren to speak up. Because I have a loud, booming man's voice. And, and she has a demure, angelic mutter.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Alex, when did you join?
I joined in 2011.
And you did like a couple years here, and then you went to Spain for a couple years, correct?
I think you're talking to, because did you do studio company?
I did studio company,
okay.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't think any of us did, but
no,
you did.
I did, yeah.
Which is not usually the norm.
I
was in the inaugural year of JKO, before it was JKO.
What was it called?
It was the American Ballet Theatre Studio Company Associate Program.
Whoa.
That's a mouthful.
That's,
yeah.
That's way too
so
much.
Fancy,
I know.
You know what's not any easier? The Jacqueline
Kennedy
Onassis School.
At American Ballet
yeah.
Theater.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it turned into that while I was still there. And then when I graduated, I didn't get a contract to studio company.
Whoa.
So at the
brutal.
Same time, Angel Correa, who was a principal here at the time, was opening a company in Spain. And I went there for 3.5 years.
Cool.
And then came back here.
So, okay, were you, like, the most devastated in the world?
The most.
Yeah.
The most. Because it was a hard moment. I was on track to
yeah.
do that. And then right when I was graduating, the director of the studio company at that time left. And the new director that took over, so it was John Meehan. And
yeah.
he was, like, he was having me start learn things from studio company. I was, like, kind of shadowing them. And
yeah.
then he left because, I don't know, whatever happened with him here, and then Kirk Peterson took over, and Kirk was like, ew, no, I don't like you.
Wow.
So I didn't get in when
whoa.
I thought I was going to be.
Yeah.
So then I auditioned around, and I was got into, like, smaller regional companies that weren't really, like, my vibe or what
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went all the way to Madrid to audition for Angel, and when I was there, he was like, why'd you come all the way here? Because he knew me from being
yeah.
in school. He's like, I could have just, like, watched you at JKO or at Steps or
yeah.
something. And I was like, well, my parents said I could go to Spain. So here I am. Me and my good friend at the time, Lara, who was also in JKO, who
yeah.
also didn't get into the company. We went together.
Oh my gosh,
so,
that must have been a fun adventure. Nerve wracking, but fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was our first time in Europe for both of us, and
and
it was fun.
And
it was
yourself.
Him. We went by the two of us
wow.
by ourselves. So it was him, and Cynthia Harvey was at the audition as
oh,
well.
Cool.
Cause originally she was going to be part of the company, but in the end she didn't end up doing it. And they both knew me from JKO and from the summer programs. And so, like, everybody had their, like, little numbers, and then they just kept being like, and Alex? And, like, all the girls were like,
they hated
who
you.
Is this? It was pretty crazy.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I actually had to talk to him right after the audition because I had a contract in Alberta Ballet
yeah.
in Canada. And they were like, I asked them for an extension
yeah.
to, like, let them know because I preferred Spain over
yeah.
Canada. So
savage.
I mean, at the time when I was, like, 19, it was
yeah.
like,
still
you know. So I spoke to him, like, I literally went up to him right after the audition, and I was like, I kind of need to know because I have this other contract. He's like, yeah, definitely. Like, you'll be getting a core contract. And I was like, okay. So I, like, went back to the hotel because this is, like, pre-internet on phones, and I, like,
whoa.
Wrote them an email, and I was like, I will not be accepting the contract.
Oh my gosh.
And then I moved to Spain for 3.5 years. And I always wanted to come back here. This
yeah.
was, like, always my dream. So when I would come visit my family in New Jersey, I would take class sometimes with ABT because I still, like, had friends here. And Susan Jones, who's our ballet director of repertoire here, she went there to set Bayadair. So I, like, had her info, and I was just like, can I take class? So I took class a few times. And then I ended up leaving Spain because things got a little, I don't know, money, financial crisis
yeah.
was really bad
yeah.
in Spain, so there was, like, a lot of cuts happening, and I ended up leaving, and I was here visiting my family anyway, and I auditioned, and Victor Barbie at the time was the associate director,
yeah.
and I did 2 classes here, like, 2 days in a row, then I went to Boston and did 2 classes there, and they called me while I was in Boston, and they're like, can you start on Tuesday?
Whoa!
Wow.
And I, like, had a flight back to Spain, because
yeah.
I was, like, still living there.
Yeah.
And I was married already at that time.
Yeah.
And
to a Spanish man.
To a Spanish man.
Hey.
So, yeah. So, I was like, okay. So, he went back to Spain for a bit, and I stayed here. And then he came a couple months after.
Whoa. That's cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that it was that, like, wham-bam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, we need people for Bayadair and for Nutcracker. Are you okay doing just, like, a short-term contract?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then it just never ended.
Yeah.
And here we are.
That's
13 years later.
That's
oh,
amazing.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Keely, when did you join?
I would have joined in a med season as well. So I joined, like, May 2017, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I did the studio company beforehand. So the Royal Ballet, their third year, they used to do the exchange with the studio
yes.
company. So that's when I actually was first shown to, like, ABT.
Mm.
Ethan Stiefel was setting a piece for us.
Mm.
And so
if you can't tell, Achilles Australian.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. But it's sort of people can't tell. Like, the accent is, like, really, really gone. It is. In my head, anyway. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I can't hear it at all.
Yeah, so I think that... Sorry. Okay. yeah, so I think it was
Ethan Stiefel sitting a piece, and I was like, I really just like the way that he worked and the way that the studio company was. Like, it was a lot more free than what I'd experienced at Royal. And I was like, I'd love to join the company, obviously. I'm in my third year at Royal. I try and audition anyway. And Kate Lydon said she would take me because she was the director of the studio company at that time. Yeah, moved over there, did
when
that.
When was that? What year
that
was that?
End of 2016, maybe? End of 2017.
Wow.
Like, that year was the changeover. And then did the studio company for about 6 months. And then they needed people for Met season. I think they were doing, like, Swan Lake. They were running out of girls, as it goes, during the Met season. And they picked me up from there. I've been
That's
with the company
fabulous.
Ever since.
Okay, so y'all have been with the company for a number of years. And you're hanging up the old boots this year. And I'm curious to know what being a Corps de Ballet member means to you. You've all done Corps de Ballet parts. You've all done featured roles. Like, why is having a Corps de Ballet, like, lifer so important for a company?
It's a good question. I finished my mint. You'll be happy to hear.
Everybody rejoice. Everybody out there in the internet.
Articulate and project. I mean, I think we can all probably have different perspectives, but I think having, like, senior, mature Corps de Ballet dancers are so important because we often, like, set the stage for the full-length ballets and kind of set the tone and carry the story. And I think a lot of the acting and the choreography and just, like, the stagecraft is stuff that you learn over the years. It's not something you're taught in school. Even, like, you know, dancing with others, breathing together, staying coordinated, all of that, it really is a practice, and it takes time to hone that skill. So I think it's really beneficial to have people who can do that very naturally and easily and have the experience to do it.
Who was that for you when you joined?
I mean, there were a lot of senior corps when I joined.
There, like, really were.
There were Annie Malewski, Marianne Butler, Adrian Schulte. Yeah, so many experienced senior women who I looked up to because we, you know, at ABT, we don't often have a lot of rehearsal time. And so being new can be really daunting because you're thrown into productions that you don't know and you don't know where to go and you don't know when to change and blah, blah, blah. And these dancers just did it so, you know, inherently. It was, you know, just ingrained in them. So
something at ABT that I want to mention. We do ballets often. We do Swan Lake, Sleeping Beauty, Romeo and Juliet, Giselle. And oftentimes we have very little time to put these big productions together. And the company relies on its dancers a lot to pretty much teach the young dancers what the steps are.
But not only just, like, the dances, like, even wardrobe. Like, you have someone change in wardrobe and they're like, we don't know when to put the capes on for Romeo and Juliet. People are asking things like that. It's like the senior dancers that know exactly what's happening when.
Yeah.
And they can keep everything calm backstage.
Yeah.
Just so, so important.
It's like that institutional knowledge that just, like, isn't taught from the staff.
It's
not really
that
from
you
within.
Think of naturally.
Yeah. There's a lot of things, too, that you really only see and understand when you're in the thick of it. Like, there's only so much a director of rep can see from the front, but we can really see much more when we're in, you know, whatever.
In the space.
We can see who's struggling with staying in line, like, because they only have one perspective, but we're, like, in the middle of all of it. So I think, and there's a lot of us and only one of them, so it's helpful to have people that you can turn to and be like, I don't know, you know, when do we change our foot, or when is this entrance, or what, and you don't have
even
to always.
Like, things like, I remember, like, being in a diagonal in, I think it's Giselle, and, like, you're
the,
like,
weird
how
one?
Do we, like, switch our legs, and, like, putting your legs slightly out from behind you so that you can stay in line with that person, like, things like that you're not taught in a ballet class. Like, everything has to be in front or behind, and you're like, well, to make that work on stage, you do need to shift it out slightly. Things like that you just don't think of.
Yeah, I always turn to the new, like, because I feel like if there's new people behind or in front or behind me in that, and the, it's,
like
the big diagonal, I'm like, this is going to feel really weird, but your arm is going to be all the way over here, and your leg's going to be all the way over here. I'm like, but from the front, it'll look fine.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories about senior corps members, let's say, putting you in line?
Yeah. I think there was a generation before ours where there might have been a little bit more of
I wish.
Sternness.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sternness is one word.
I think we try to do it now from a more loving place.
And that's what I've mainly because we just company, for sure.
We want to look good.
Yeah.
And then in the end of the day, like, if one of us is out of line or doesn't look right, then it ruins our whole,
like, what we're all aiming for.
I have to tell you a story. So I do therapy every Monday, like, psychotherapy, I guess. Is that right? Is that what it's called?
Therapy.
Yeah, just therapy, whatever. And my therapist came to see Swan Lake, and she went on and on about how beautiful the Corps de Ballet was. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, it was a beautiful show, but the Corps de Ballet took her breath away. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, what am I, chopped liver? You know?
You're like, well, now I don't feel very good. But no. You're supposed to be helping me.
It's very sweet. So, all of that aside, I'm desperate to know, like, I want to start with the negative and then we'll move on to the positive because I like to finish on the positive. So I want to know some of the toughest things you've had to endure as a Corps de Ballet member, whether it be disappointment, rejection, just like the daily grind, the amount of shows you have to do, things like that. Keely, I'd like to start with you.
I think it is literally, I think I've had people come to me and tell me, like, I can't believe you're doing everything in class every day and like you're here every day. And I'm like, it's not like, it's my job, but like being in class is to like improve your technique and improve like what you want to do on a daily basis and make that a lot easier for yourself. Mm. And like turning up for yourself every day like that when you're doing things like Romeo and Juliet, where you're like just acting on the side 90% of the time, that is really, really hard. And like making sure you maintain that in the Corps de Ballet is really, really hard. I found that.
Yeah.
I
have trouble doing that, and I have to do pirouettes. Alex?
I think I had said this last week, you know, not many people set out to be in the Corps de Ballet. It's not like when you're young and in school, you're not like, oh, my goal is to do peasants in Swan Lake. That's just like the reality of what it is. That's, you know, the roles that you just kind of look past. And then even when you do join the Corps, you're still looking at the soloist roles and all of those
featured
roles.
Yeah. Mm.
Because, you know, it's ingrained in us from little to be ambitious and goal-oriented. And you forget the importance of what it is that the Corps de Ballet does. And I think with years staying in the Corps and being in the Corps, you appreciate that more. Mm. So there's like a rough patch in the Corps that you go through when you're like so eager and want to do more and you're not really present in what you are doing
and
currently
how much that is.
And that just being here is such an achievement. Yeah. There are thousands and millions of dancers out there who would kill to just be in this company.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, well, I just want to do pas de trois. I don't want to do Aristocrats, but then the Aristocrats are really important and the dance is actually really hard and it's full of really technical things. And so I think coming to the realization of what we mean within the company, it takes time and it's a bumpy road to get there because it is full of disappointment. You know, casting goes up and it's like, okay, I'm still just in the core, just doing the core things. And every now and then, sometimes we get thrown a featured role to work towards and to help you sustain that motivation, self-motivation, all that stuff. But it is really important what we do. It really, like you said, like, she came to see the show, and she took away the Corps de Ballet. Yeah. Like, that was what
I mean, that's the other thing. That's the show we sell out most consistently is Swan Lake, and it's because of the beauty of the Corps.
Yeah.
Right.
It really is.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's hard. And when you do get those moments to shine, it's very nerve-wracking because it's like, okay, if I do this one, then maybe I'll get more. And or maybe it's like, and then maybe
like
you don't. And then that's a whole nother level of disappointment.
There's
a lot of ups and downs. But
learning
to
do like those like featured roles for yourself as well, I think is like really, really important. So it's not about like where it's going to take you or what that's going to do. It's more like, hey, like I want to do this really well. And like, that's really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like that just takes like so much maturity and
I'm not sure I'm there yet.
Yeah. I know, me neither.
What about you?
I mean, I agree with everything you guys said. And I think just, you know, the physical component of that is that the Corps de Ballet is on the majority of the shows. So you're in class in the morning, you're rehearsing all day, and then you're performing almost every single night, yeah. and your recovery time is very little. And then if you do get the opportunity to do a featured role, you're usually so exhausted mm-hmm. that you're rehearsing that on top of all your mm-hmm. current mm-hmm. Court of Ballet workload that you feel like you maybe don't even have, like, a fair shot of going into it, mm-hmm. you know, as good as it could be, because yeah. it's sort of just on top of what you're yeah. already dealing with. So, definitely. Yeah.
It's a lot tough. It's a lot of self-motivation and...
And, like, friend...
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. The community that comes part of it is, yeah. like, so incredible.
It's gold.
So, so incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some moments that you felt, like, what you were achieving was a true triumph, or you gained a lot of respect for yourself and your peers? Lauren, you start.
I mean, I feel like for me, honestly, it was, like, my knee injury and, like, recovering from that.
Talk about your knee injury. Tell us.
Yeah, I tore my ACL on stage at the Met Opera House.
I didn't realize it was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing?
Sylvia.
Oh.
I was doing the, what are they called? The
concubines.
Oh. Yeah. So that was in 2016. Can I say that?
I don't know.
Okay.
We do a lot of sex
the
worker
role.
Role.
Yeah.
Harlots.
Yeah.
Harlan.
Yeah.
Whores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Concubines. Mm.
Yeah.
Ballet.
Ballet.
Yeah. It's from before.
She ain't woke. But, yeah, so I did, I tore my ACL and I had, like, major knee surgery and, like, the amount of work I had to put in to recover from that and then recover in a really strong way, I felt like gave me so much confidence and just, I think it, like, showed me just, like, how resilient I am. And that was sort of, like, a turning point just for me personally to be like, okay, I can do really hard things and actually, like, come out on the other side in a better place.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. I relate deeply.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alex?
I think there are roles that I've done that on the other side I was like, oh, I did that.
Mm.
Like, yeah, and I,
like
at the
what?
Time maybe, I don't know, just ones that are hard to get through.
Big Swans.
Like, Big Swans is was always a dream role of mine, and getting to do it was amazing, and I did it for nine years maybe. But still, like, super nervous every single time.
Yeah, of course.
But that was one. Tall Pot Acción and Biter is another one. Shades and Biter. I mean, I think Shades for all of us is a real
moment.
Hurdle,
yeah.
both mentally, physically.
Yeah.
It's a real, like, if you mess up, everyone's going to see that you messed up.
Yeah.
So it's, like,
a lot of pressure.
Mental pressure.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice because it's, like, we actually get, like, applause in the middle of the ballet
for
once when we finish the adagio. It's a real moment where, like, yeah, it's just for us. So it's, like, literally just us out on stage.
Wow.
There's not a single soloist yet. Wow. There's not any principal. So that's always a hurdle that feels good to get over. Yeah. A lot of the Ratmansky ballets, Songs of Bukovina was one that that was
real highlight,
real hard,
yeah.
and we were like, "Holy crap!" I remember the first time we, like, ran it in the studio, we all just, like, collapsed on the floor, and I was like, "Well, that was a lot of dancing. It was probably the most dancing, hard dancing that we've done, like, consecutively, because it's like a 20-minute ballet.
It's
nonstop.
Don't go off stage, really.
Yeah.
So that was a real moment. I was like, this is a cool thing that I got to be a part of.
Yeah.
So those are ones that I felt really good about.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Save big on your Labor Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice bone-in ribeye steaks for $8.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Keely, what about you?
I think mentally for me was really high. It was my first year, like my first year as a full quarter value member of the company. And we were having an 8-week max season and I was so excited. And I think I'd done all eight Swan Lake shows, Act Two. I think I'd done all eight Shades. Then I'd done all eight of the Maidens in Firebird. I was ready to go with Romeo and Juliet. It's like, it's going to be more chill. I'm so excited. And I was called into the office and they were like, we've actually forgotten to renew your visa. You're working
illegally.
You're not working here anymore.
And you're done. And you need to stop being in rehearsals right now. And you need to fly back to Australia. And I was like heartbroken. And they were like, we'll try and get you back as quickly as possible. And like it's fine. Because like you're like, okay, it's fine. They're trying to do the best thing. Like they're trying to do the right thing. But then there's always this thing in the back of your head that's like, are they doing this on purpose? Like, am I supposed to like leave and like not come back? And like, what are they doing? And then they were like, we'll try and get you back for Biodo, because I think we're doing Biodo in LA after that. And I was like, we'll try and get you back for that. And I was sitting in Australia trying to keep my fitness up, knowing you guys are all doing the Met season. I'm like trying to do it and trying to come back. And they're like, you know what? We don't actually need you for LA anymore. So just come back when you're ready. And I was like, coming back after that, I was like, am I even supposed to be here? Like, are they really wanting you here? That was really hard mentally, I think, more than anything. I think especially just being new in the company.
Yeah, because you don't feel established
yet. Not at all. Yeah. It was like my first year. I was like, what am I doing?
I mean, a career in ballet is, you never really feel like you can relax.
No.
And you're always, no matter how established you are, you're always trying to not only prove yourself to get new opportunities, but to prove yourself to maintain the opportunities that you currently have. And that's a really unspoken truth about what we do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got that. That was difficult, but now I want to hear something that was beautiful in your time as a quarter ballet member.
And like even this last year, I've had so many beautiful moments. Like doing Ballet Imperial this year, those tutus are so stunning. And they're like, it's like a hard ballet. Well, I mean, they're redoing them now, which is another story.
Shame.
Yeah, right?
Well, we'll see. Like, you never know. They could really slay.
I don't know.
For everybody else, we'll be watching.
Yeah. Hopefully you make them like lighter as well.
Yeah, those are heavy, those costumes.
Those were heavy. But yeah, no, that was really beautiful. And that's like another one that's like, it's a big achievement and you feel beautiful and you feel seen as part of that quarter ballet.
There's so much dancing in that ballet.
So much dancing.
Wait, I missed it.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah.
They stopped it for a period of time, right, as well?
Yeah, it was right... The last time they had done it was before we joined, right?
Oh, like years
ago. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they hadn't... since I joined.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
since I joined.
So, and then we were out.
Wait, so I'm desperate to know, even though I already know, I'm desperate for my listeners to know what you're doing now that the boots are hung up. Well, going to be hung up. Alex, why don't you start?
I'm fully retiring. Like,
I aim to.
I need a break. It was funny because I ordered like my last order of pointe shoes before the Met started, and one of the girls in the company, ZJ, she was like, you should order extras in case you have a gig or something. I was like, ZJ, there's no gig. Like, I don't want a gig. There's not going to be any of that.
We'll see.
A character role here and there. And then I'm actually moving back to Spain. I have a almost 5-year-old son now too, and we just want to raise him in that environment.
Yeah.
Easier.
Can you adopt me?
No.
Raise me.
I mean, my husband has been here for 13 plus years, he's ready to go home.
Yeah.
And he's been away from his family for that long, and we just feel like it's the right move for our family. So we'll be moving to Barcelona.
Barcelona.
So beautiful.
I'm coming to Barcelona this summer. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I will come watch your show, and then we can have drinks and dinner.
Yay, at midnight.
At the beach. At midnight. So and then everyone will still be out.
Espanol.
Yeah.
Lauren, please.
So I will be the next director of the Minnesota Dance Theater.
Congratulations. And just a little bit of background there. So you are a college graduate, correct?
No.
Okay. But you've done a lot
of
school.
I've done some college.
Okay.
Some college.
I have done some middle school. So We're doing great.
Yeah.
So tell me about the position and how did you get this job?
Yeah, so it is the director of the school. It's the highest position in the organization currently. They used to have a professional arm of the company, but that's been paused for now to really invest in the school. And it's kind of crazy how it came about. I've known about this organization for years. It's been around for like 63 years, I think. And I've actually taken class there when I was visiting Minnesota on layoff. And so I'm familiar with it. And it's very established and well-respected in Minnesota. But actually, my husband was on Instagram and was the one who saw, like, oh, they're looking for a new director. You should definitely apply. We had already decided we wanted to move to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
That's where we have family, and likewise, we have two little kids and just wanted a slower pace. So, yeah, he encouraged me to put my hat in the ring, and I went through, you know, a somewhat rigorous
how many rounds?
Interview process. I did 3 rounds of interviews.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Scary. Sounds like corporate America.
I'm good. Yeah. Bless you.
Oh, pardon me. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Bless me.
And she won.
And she won.
She did.
They chose her hat from the ring.
Yeah.
Well, yep. I'm excited to hear how all that goes. I want to come visit you and go to the Mall of America.
Anytime.
I want to go ride a roller coaster inside. Everything is insane. Earth is crazy. Keely, what about you?
So I am moving to Toronto as of next year. I'm finishing off my Bachelor of Laws.
I don't know about all that, but
we're moving into that field, trying to do something a little bit different.
A little bit different.
A little bit. I've always been really interested in it. I've been studying it for 5 years now, and I'm on to my last year. So
tell me how the hell you managed to do school at this... Well, actually, I know how you do it, because I see you every day in the lounge. Everyone's playing video games. You're literally writing, like...
dissertation.
Yeah. You have, like, a giant law book, and you're just, like...
I have so many giant law books. Yeah. I, like, try to move them all. I'm like, do I need these? I don't know, but am I going to take them? Yes, because I spent so much money on them.
Yeah. They'll still be, like, family heirlooms.
Can't they be digital?
They are. So that's the other thing. Like, half of them are actually physicals, because they didn't want you to do it digital, and then COVID hit, and they were like, well, now everything's digital, so you have to have everything.
Did you have to buy it twice?
No. Oh, okay. Like, they're, like... I usually get like one or two books every subject. So like depending on what time I did the subjects, like I either have ebooks or I have like physical books. I actually prefer the physical books because I feel like so proud.
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, oh my god, look what I read.
It's so cool. I'm so impressed.
And I know.
It's so crazy.
It's really unrelatable. Like, there's, when
but
I think about
so
the people.
There's so many people that study.
I know.
It's pretty insane.
I don't understand either.
I don't know either.
Yeah. I'm not a school
I don't get it. And you're so good at ballet. And I see you do ballet, and I'm like, how can she do both?
Yeah.
That's what I think about a lot of the dancers here, though. Like, they manage everything so... I mean, even you guys. You guys, like, taking care of whole families outside of this. And I'm like, how are you managing all of that, plus, like, also doing your job the way you do it? It's pretty insane.
And me, because I have, like, 2 cats. It's so crazy. It's so crazy
you
what
like
I can
100
do.
Other endeavors. Wrote a whole book, didn't you?
Yeah. With my middle school education.
Hey, yeah, exactly. What are you talking about?
I got jokes, though. Okay, I have so many questions for you, but we're running out of time. Okay. I need for the 3 of you to give a pearl of wisdom about your time in the Corps de Ballet to young, aspiring dancers. A pearl of wisdom. It can be LOL or serios. And I'm looking at Lauren.
Don't start with me.
Okay, all right, Alex. Something that you feel like is an important thing for people to hear that maybe someone never told you.
I think kind of to piggyback off of what I said before is the importance of what the Corps does. And then to don't be shy. I know it's hard because, you know, there are just some people who are more introverted. And that's fine. But when you're in performance mode or in the studio, to allow yourself to show the emotion of what is happening in the story, whether that's while you're dancing or in all of the in-between bits, I really feel like that was something I always loved doing, and I feel like it got me further in my career than just
executing the steps.
Yeah, because I've never considered myself a technician of ballet in any shape or form. I don't do 1,000 pirouettes. My leg doesn't go up to my ear. But I love to perform, and I love to act and feel what I'm dancing, not just...
Live the drama.
Not just, like, lift my arm into a position. I think there's a purpose for every step, and just taking the time to know what that is and to understand what that is, it really can elevate your dancing in a way that just training really can't. And I
concur.
I think that really... I mean, I've gotten so many opportunities just based off of my acting chops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then dancing, and then those ones led to dancing ones because they were like, she can do things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it became dancing character roles, and then it just became dancing roles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was like kind of a way to step out of the crowd that I feel like a lot of people don't really talk about.
Yeah.
It's just like people trying to drill, oh, I'm just gonna do as many turns as I can. Or,
I mean, especially in ABT when we're doing primarily story ballets.
Right.
So it's like
yeah.
the bulk of what we do.
And like, isn't that the point of dancing? It's an art form.
Yes.
Like, it should make you feel something.
Yes.
People are coming to see it to feel something.
Yes.
Completely.
So you should be doing that as well.
Yes, 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 yes.
While you're doing it, you should also be having that experience. Because otherwise, it's just too damn hard. Like,
yeah.
it's so not worth it in the end of the day.
Yes.
So that's something that I feel like people don't talk about.
I wish I had a cowbell for like when something's really hitting to be like ding 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 ding. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I try when I teach every now and then, like especially with the level that's like right pre-pro, like right before you're gonna to enter. I really try to
emphasize
artistry in class because that's when it starts. There's like a big gap between
what you do in
class
yeah.
and when you join a company
yeah.
because it's not the same. You know, you can do a perfect arabesque, but if you're doing it without like feeling like a swan or looking like a willy or what, I'm like, okay, I'm like, you can do an arabesque.
Yeah.
Okay.
Congrats.
Yeah.
So I think that's my pearl of wisdom.
That's beautifully said. All right, I'm sorry, Lauren. It's your turn.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are
you gotta
think
follow
of one?
That.
I need
Are
another
Are you done
mint.
With your mint?
I'm done.
Oh, wait, one more thing.
Yes.
Know your choreography.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
Not to the point that,
yeah.
like, you're doing somebody, like, the director's job,
yeah.
but have respect in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, know your shit and
yeah.
don't mess around on the side when it's not your turn. And don't listen to the directions.
I feel
because
like
then
you're
make everybody else does it.
Mostly to the boys. To like the male.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Friends
yeah.
in the company.
Because you just make everybody repeat things 1,000 times because you weren't listening and it's really annoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's done.
Ding, 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 ding. All right. Keesh.
Okay. I guess I would say that like having some experiences outside of the ballet studio is really important for perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like we can be very singularly focused on ballet and feel that it is like our number one identity and like everything about ourselves, and it's everything we kind of like put our you know energy and focus into. But I think having like lived experience outside of the studio is so important and just like complements and enhances your performance on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna end, like it always ends at some point, so I think it's nice to know about other things outside and you know
and you learn about
life.
Yourself so much outside
yeah.
of this space, and people treat you differently out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't shit. You go out into the world and you ain't shit. But here, you're a dancer with American Ballet Theater and you can hold your head up and be proud. But out in the world, it's like people are like, oh, cool. Like, you
are
know,
you
Barbie?
On Broadway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do Barbie Swan Lake? I'm like, I wish. So I think that's really true. What are some experiences you've had that have brought you that perspective? Obviously, being a mother, I presume.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, being a mother has brought me huge perspective, and I feel like it's just, I don't know.
That doesn't mean everybody go out and get pregnant.
No. No, but also, like, my time being injured, like, any time that I've stepped away from
yeah.
even COVID, like,
yeah.
from performing and from training every day, I feel like I've learned something about myself, I've learned something that interests me, and then when you do kind of step back into it, you just have, like, more, like, wealth of experience that you can bring to your dancing.
Yes.
What's my favorite phrase right now? It's just ballet. Keep saying it every time, you know.
Shit gets real.
Wayne said it as we were going on for our, like, act three of our show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like, it's just ballet. Yeah. Like, zoom out. Yes. Big picture of the world.
Yeah.
It's just ballet.
It's just ballet.
So true.
Yeah.
Keely.
I think for me it would be, I know this sounds like ridiculous and like oversimplified, but like just have the confidence that you have the ability to do what you want to do. Because like I think I joined the company and I was like, oh my God, everything's so intimidating. And you are surrounded by these gorgeous artists every day. And so you're like, it feels very intimidating when you get in there. But like know that the people that employed you, they employed you out of hundreds of people, thousands of people that they could have employed, and they want you there. Mm. So, like, have that confidence in yourself so that you can show up in a way that is artistic and, like, know your choreography and feel good about it, because otherwise there's no point doing it.
Yeah, and I thought of something else. Sorry.
Get in there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm just thinking back, like, my earlier years. I feel like there's so much comparison with the other dancers, and, like, I think something I've learned as I've gotten older is that just because someone is succeeding doesn't mean you can't also succeed.
Exactly.
So I think
Or that you're not succeeding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, finding a way to, like, support other people who are succeeding, just, like, it doesn't take away from anything you're doing.
Not at all. Mm-hmm.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. I think that's something that we actually do quite well here at ABT is supporting those who are winning and letting them know that they're loved and not hated for their success.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's really hard to do for people in an artistic profession as cutthroat and competitive as this.
Very competitive, yeah.
And it's a choice we make, and I think it's a really beautiful, important choice.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because it is not like that everywhere.
No.
I just want to close by saying that I am so amazed by the three of you for your gifts and what you've been individually to this company. And I respect all three of you, and I know you're going to just do beautiful things in your next chapter. So, cheers. I hope everyone out there has a glass of water or a glass of whiskey, and we're going to do a quick toast to these three ballerinas. Yay. Cheers.
We don't have anything
to drink. It's a show tonight, but I have a water bottle.
Love you.
So, where can people follow you and see what you're doing next? Lauren?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm on Instagram, at Lauren C. Post, I believe.
Alex?
I'm also on Instagram, but it's probably going to heavily slow down soon, since mine's kind of just, like, all work-related. I don't really post anything about my personal life on there. But it's at Alex_BestMajiDiaz.
All right, Keely.
Mine's at Keely Groon. I'm probably not going to post anything, but I'm going to start teaching a little bit, so maybe a little bit of that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the stage on the right side.
Dream come true. I've been a fan of the stage right side since day one.
Yes.
I listened to all the episodes. I text James. I'm like, I just listened to your episode. And when he said, will you come on it? I was like,
so enthusiastic. Yes, let's go.
I think this is a really important thing for people to know also to hear about the end of an era. Like, it's really hard, and it's something I think about so often. I mean, I'm getting there, so this is valuable for me to hear your perspectives, and I'm probably not going to become a lawyer, but I do have things that I can do, he tells himself.
Put that GED to good work.
Yes! Who said I had a GED? Okay,
she's
love
like, you
y'all.
You got that one right.
Bye. Wave to the camera and watch this on YouTube if you are so inclined. All right, bye. Heart. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy.
Save big on your Labor Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice bone-in ribeye steaks for $8.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.